fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and team.
Week 12 in the books, week 13 coming up. This is your last chance to make that playoff push. We've got you covered for the waiver wire. We'll talk about that Packers and Eagles game and everything you need to know getting ready for your fantasy football success. I'm Dave Richard, joined by Heath Cummings and Jamie Eisenberg. Adam Azer was eaten by a tornado.
I was going to ask where Adam was. Eaten by a tornado in New York.
Yeah, kind of weird, huh? But literally, the tornado had a mouth and it opened and it grabbed little Adam by its tornado hand and threw him into his mouth and now he's gone.
Have you lived through any tornadoes, Heath?
Well, I never had one go directly over me.
Mm-hmm. So you've never been.
I lived through a lot of tornado warnings.
Right.
I saw a few tornadoes, but they were like off in the distance. I thought maybe it was like a Willie Sneed fan went to New York and kidnapped Adam.
That'd be bad.
He was not happy with Willie Sneed yesterday.
I've seen a Texas tornado. Kerry Von Erich, former Intercontinental Champion.
Oh, yeah, the Von Erich family.
Okay, so top waiver wire claim. You're all alive in a bunch of leagues. Heath, you talked about you're in playoff contention in 10 leagues.
Yeah. The bad thing about being in playoff contention in 10 leagues, it means that I really haven't clinched hardly in any leagues.
Okay. That's all right. That's all right. Just, you're still in it. It's not bad.
I may come in next Monday just completely despondent.
Okay. Well, hopefully that doesn't happen. Who's your number one waiver wire priority this week?
It's got to be Tyreek Hill, right?
He's pretty good.
He's kind of the focal point of the Chiefs offense, which the Chiefs offense isn't very good, but going to Atlanta, I'm excited to see Tyreek Hill on turf.
Jamie Eisenberg.
Yeah, same guy. I think he's got the most upside. You know, obviously we need a quarterback. Kaepernick, I don't understand his ownership percentage at all.
39% owned.
It's very puzzling. So if you need a quarterback, he should be the number one guy. There are not a lot of great running back options, unfortunately, this week. You know, so if you're looking to stash someone for the playoffs, you can look at maybe Adrian Peterson. You can look at Charles Sims or Amir Abdullah. But I think if you need some help, potential flex options, Tyreek Hill or Malcolm Mitchell. He's done a nice job with Gronkowski not on the field. 3 touchdowns in his last 2 games.
I think there's a lot of receivers, and we'll talk about them all, from Tyreek Hill to Taylor Gabriel to Marquise Wilson to even Dontrell Inman and Doriel Green-Beckham. But I would look at the tight ends. I think that there could be some waiver claims there that can help you out. Vance McDonald's been playing well. That goes right along with Colin Kaepernick. The receivers in San Francisco seem to be up and down. He's been fairly consistent. Vernon Davis could be a guy that can save you in Week 13 if Jordan Reed doesn't play.
I don't know about Week 13, but maybe Week 14.
Why not Week 13?
Yeah, Arizona's pretty good against
tight
ends.
They are pretty good against tight
like
ends.
The best. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that defense is going to look like if they don't have Patrick Peterson on the field.
I don't think he covers tight ends.
He doesn't, but things could change, and that's a very multiple offense in Washington, so I'm not ready to ride. I don't love Vernon Davis. I'd rather have Vance McDonald, just saying.
I'd rather have C.J. Fedorowicz, even though he hasn't been very good lately.
He really has disappointed lately. I think people are ready to take off the thinking cap. Okay, don't forget to pick up your handcuffs. I'm reading off of notes that Adam sent before he was eaten.
I think the best part is, like, from the belly of the monster, Adam is still trying to...
Well, just because you get eaten by a tornado doesn't mean you necessarily pass away.
Well, if Adam was going to get
eaten,
it's
just very windy in there.
He would have his computer with him still.
Do you think Adam's hair moves in wind because it's very curly and thick?
I just kind of figured his whole apartment was in the tornado, so he was still fine inside the apartment.
Sammy Watkins still available in 21% of CBSSports.com leagues. Tyrod Taylor, same thing. They play at Oakland, then Pittsburgh, then Cleveland, then Miami. Those games are all at home. And then they've got the New York Jets after that. So a pretty good schedule ahead for the Bills. And I think everybody should be fairly encouraged by what they saw from Sammy Watkins this past weekend.
Yep, he played great. Should get better. That was the shake off the rust game. So hopefully there are great things ahead for Mr. Watkins.
Would he be your number one waiver claim if he's still out there?
Oh, yeah.
He's still out
sure.
there in a fifth of leagues on CBS.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you don't play on CBS, it's probably even higher than that. Cameron Brate, 81% owned. He's had 2 bad games in a row. They were against Kansas City and Seattle. He had a touchdown call back against Seattle.
Almost
now the schedule opens up for him. He's at San Diego, then New Orleans, then at Dallas, and then at New Orleans again. They've done okay against Travis Kelce, Jimmy Graham. This is the Saints I'm talking about. Greg Olsen in one of 2 meetings. The other one, Olsen, went off. Do you like Cameron Brate if he gets dropped this week? to yes. come in onto your lineup and be a good starter. I think he's okay.
I'd rather have him than any of the tight ends we're going to talk about in the waiver wire.
So. Totally agree.
Chicago wide receivers. A lot of guys there that might need to get sorted out, but Marquise Wilson is the one who stood out to me the most. A lot of targets for him. And Cameron Meredith, no one's going to talk about him because he didn't have a good stat line, but he did have a lot of targets in the game, 9 of them. Do you guys have a favorite Bears receiver that you would
Marquise
pick up
Wilson.
Off with?
He's the only one I would want.
Why? Just because of how he did in that game?
The targets were equal for three guys between him, Bellamy. I'm sorry, between him, Thompson, and Meredith. But he's the one with the most talent.
And I know San Francisco is an outstanding matchup, and I don't want to discount that. I don't think the 49ers can play as bad as Tennessee just did. Their secondary was so
garbage. They were awful. It's their second straight road game. They sold out to try and stop the run last week, which I would imagine they're probably going to try and do again against Jordan Howard. Why wouldn't you? So I think there's an opportunity there for Barkley to find these guys, but you're not starting them with any level of confidence.
And then the other thing is, like, I don't think Chicago's game plan is to throw it 50 times in a game. I would say
I think they might have
if
to.
They can keep – well,
this
is
a winnable game.
They're going
to
get blown out.
They're not going to throw it 50 times a week this week.
How about 40?
If they're throwing it 40 times, they're chasing points against San Francisco.
But I think that could happen.
It's possible.
It's possible, but I don't think that's the game plan.
I think it's just as likely that Jordan Howard has like 80 yards in the first quarter, and this is just a close game.
Yeah, I think Jordan Howard's going to go nuts. I mean,
I think both running backs are going to be outstanding.
Yes, yep. They're both top 10 guys.
But Marquise Wilson, 11 targets, 8 catches, 125 yards, and it's not Lenny had a touchdown. It's not like he caught a 95-yard touchdown to pad his stat line. His longest catch was for 23 yards. I think there's something to him as the best Bears receiver, but not necessarily somebody that fantasy owners should fall in love with and run to the waiver wire to get. He might be somebody that you get on your second and third run waivers.
I think you could make an argument for Wilson over any of the other receivers. I'm not saying for sure because I've struggled with it, but I want Tyreek Hill the most. After Tyreek Hill, I think you can make an argument for Wilson over Gabriel. You can make an argument for Wilson over Mitchell.
I'd rather have Mitchell by far.
I'd rather have Mitchell for sure if Gronk's out. If Gronk's back, I'm not sure that I would.
All right, well, let's talk about these guys. Maybe we'll get into the wide receiver waivers right now. And Jamie's priority list, he writes about the waiver wire every week on CBS Sports. Tyreek Hill is number one, 56% owned, so a little more than half of CBS leagues. He's still out there. 10 targets, 9 catches, 52 yards, and a touchdown. He also ran for a touchdown. And in 3 games without Jeremy Maclin, he had 10 catches for 89 yards. That was against Carolina. 4 catches for 53 yards on just 5 targets against Tampa Bay. That one is a head-scratcher. And then you know the game against Denver. I just told you what he did. He's averaging under 10 yards per catch this season, but he's got speed and he's got some playmaking ability, and he clearly has a role in this Kansas City offense. How much can you trust him moving forward?
Who's number healthy? Two receiver this week.
I've got him at the bottom of my number two receiver list. I've got him 24th. I don't know if I love it, but I'm taking it.
I've got him as a top 30 guy, just outside of my top 24.
The Falcons stink.
The Falcons don't have a guy that can cover him. And if he and I almost think he's I don't want to make him sound like he's an elite receiver by saying that he's matchup proof.
He's matchup
when you've got that type of speed. Yep. All it takes is one broken tackle, and you're off to the races.
If he had a better quarterback, we'd be talking about it as a top 15 receiver.
The thing that got me the most excited was the fact, not the speed, not the kickoff return, not the big plays. It's the fact they threw a slant to him inside the 10, and they're running this wildcat offense in the red zone and handing him the ball. Like he's gonna get, if he gets is getting red zone touches too, then he is matchup proof.
At this point, he's just as good as Larry Fitzgerald, who's fallen off.
I don't understand why you'd start Fitzgerald over him.
He's just
PPR,
as good.
Maybe even in a PPR.
He's just as good as Kelvin Benjamin. He's better than Allen Robinson this week.
And DeAndre Hopkins.
I have Hopkins ranked a little higher. I like DeAndre's situation this week, but to me they're kind of similar.
Did he get a new quarterback?
No. Just a little bit better of a matchup.
Yeah.
But the guy's going to throw the ball 45 times.
And I'll tell you what, the one thing that Hopkins and Hill have in common is I think they're both on teams this week that will have to throw the football. As much as the Chiefs don't want to throw the football, I think Atlanta's going to put points on them. I don't know if this defense is going to be at full strength. Justin Houston's playing out of his mind. But unless they get some other guys back, I think Atlanta's going to force Alex Smith to throw.
Well, the one thing about Atlanta that we've seen, and it played out last week too, is you can run on Atlanta. And so maybe this is a game where the Chiefs running game.
It's been so long since they've had an effective running game, though. It makes me worried. And this, to me, is a point for Tyreek Hill and why Tyreek Hill, I think, can continue to be a thing for the Kansas City
Atlanta's
Chiefs.
Been so bad against pass-catching running backs for 2 years now.
Yep.
The Chiefs have pretty much stopped throwing the ball to Spencer Ware because they're just throwing it to Tyreek Hill on those short routes. I wonder if those types of plays are still going to work well against Atlanta. I think it's just because they're not very good at tackling.
I'm going to skip around on Jamie's priority list at wide receiver. I'll give you the top five for right now. It's Tyreek Hill at one, Malcolm Mitchell at two, DeSean Jackson three, Quincy Enunwa four, and then Taylor Gabriel at five. But since we're talking about this Atlanta-Kansas City game, I think Taylor Gabriel is worth talking about. He's scored a touchdown in four straight games with 12 or more fantasy points in non-PPR leagues. He's got Kansas City, then he's got L.A., then San Francisco, then at Carolina, and then New Orleans. The speed is out there. He's never going to get double covered because Julio Jones plays with him. Is he in that same type of boat as Tyreek Hill, especially considering his quarterback is better than Tyreek Hill's quarterback?
Not even close.
He's not in the same boat as Hill.
No way.
Why not?
Because he's touchdown dependent. And if he doesn't score, you're going to be really, really disappointed the first week you buy into starting him.
Heath?
In PPR, I don't think it's even close. In standard, Hill's been pretty touchdown dependent too. And I mean, he's still just had 52 yards in this game.
Yeah, but the catches have been, what, five or more?
Right. Hill's last three
games.
Yeah,
PPR, he's not touchdown dependent at all. He's getting the targets.
Right.
Hill's, it's just he's averaging 8 yards per reception. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not getting a ton of yards. So I would rather have Hill in both formats.
I would, too.
I think it's closer in standard.
I do, too.
And, like, can teams continue to take Julio Jones away?
No.
The teams on this schedule. I don't think so. All the Falcons have to do with Julio, and they should know this, is line him up on the left side. And he'll do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you do that?
Because he's away from Marcus Peters.
Right.
So it's going to take a fundamental change from Kansas City.
I know that you guys don't think Marcus Peters is as good as I do.
He's their best corner.
If they line Julio up on Marcus Peters, we don't have any reason to believe that Matt Ryan's going to force the ball to him. He'll just throw it to whoever's on the left side. That's the difference with Matt
Ryan.
How
many bad games in a row has Julio had this year?
I don't know.
I don't think he's had any.
You mean
like
every time he's had a bad game, he bounces back with a bigger game coming back. Yeah, you're right. Let's see. Week three, he had 16 yards. He came back with 300 yards and a touchdown. The week after, he's been a yo-yo for sure. 2 for 29 after the 300-yard game. He's had a lot of sinkers, but never consecutively. So it makes sense that this is.
Well, I think
anybody sitting Julio Jones anyway.
No, but I mean, does this benefit? Look, Gabriel's a one play. It's the same. It's almost identical to what they had a few years ago with Anton Smith, because Smith was barely touching the ball, but when he touched the ball, he was electric and scored touchdowns. And so that's what Gabriel has become. So you can use him as a Hail Mary number three wide receiver, which I think is great. But to say that he's, I think we've seen now for a good stretch without Macklin that Tyreek Hill can be a starter for you. Is he going to have a stinker in there like he did against Tampa Bay? Absolutely. Is Malcolm Mitchell a potential starter for you? Maybe. I like him better than Gabriel, especially if Gronk is out, because I like his quarterback situation. I like his opportunities right now. So
what if Gronk plays?
I mean, he scored a touchdown with Gronk on the field last week, the first one. Mm-hmm.
The thing I like about Gabriel is that he's been making so many plays that the Falcons have to figure out ways to use him. And I don't know if his usage is going to decline at all. The one problem that I do see with Gabriel compared to Hill is that I think Atlanta can run on Kansas City. And so that could definitely take – I think there's no upside in the touches. He's had 5 targets in 3 straight games. I think that's going to be the max. So you're going to be lucky if he gets out of there with 4 or 5 catches. And I almost feel like Jamie's right. You're going to need some luck. But you talked about some other receivers – that you would start ahead of Tyreek Hill. How many of those same receivers would you sit for Taylor Gabriel? So Allen Robinson.
Robinson would be the only one.
Okay. So you go get, what about Larry Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald over Gabriel.
Okay. Heath, you feel the same way, or are you moving on from Fitzgerald?
No, I've not moved on. I need to move him down a little bit more, but I've not moved on from him. There's a lot of bad matchups for wide receivers. I'm sure we'll talk about it more as the week goes on, but a lot of guys that we had in the top 20 last week have pretty bad matchups this week.
Why don't we talk about Malcolm Mitchell just a little bit more? He's had touchdowns now in consecutive games. His snap count, not nearly as high as Chris Hogan, as Julian Edelman, but he's still making plays. And he's got the Rams this week, and the Rams, a lot of questions have come in about what happened to Brandon Cooks and why did he go targetless? Well, the Rams took him away with a lot of double coverage. And so Drew Brees just threw away. And when you're Drew Brees, you can do that. And when you're Tom Brady, you can do the exact same thing. But I don't think Malcolm Mitchell's going to draw that type of attention, and he doesn't play that much to get that type of attention. So he might be your number two on your priority list, Jamie, but where does he rank compared to some of the veterans that we've talked about, Fitzgerald, Kelvin Benjamin, Allen Robinson?
I'd start him over Benjamin this week if Gronk is out. He's right there with Fitzgerald. I think he's the second best Patriots receiver at this point. I don't think that's close. And I like the fact that Brady is, for the first time in maybe since the Randy Moss days, is looking outside as opposed to just staying in the middle of the field. But Mitchell's showing he can go inside and outside. You see his red zone touchdown, which was nice. They're just a matchup nightmare. I mean, anytime they're on the they have all their guys going, they're a matchup nightmare.
This week specifically, if you have to have a wide receiver and you have to win this week, I have a hard time saying that I'd rather have Malcolm Mitchell starting for me than Marcus Wilson going up against the 49ers when he's probably going to get 10 targets.
I would just take more trust in Brady,
right,
than I would in Barkley, because to Dave's point earlier, there were 9 targets to Wilson. There were 9 targets to Bellamy, or to Thompson. I keep getting confused. 9 targets to Thompson.
Whoever they are.
9 targets to
Meredith.
To Meredith. And this is a game where the Bears can run.
Right.
So, I mean, look, the thing about it is all these guys are number 3 receivers. Hill's the closest to a must-start guy.
Which is why he's first.
Just based on the way it lays out.
Okay.
Because Gabriel, yes, the touchdowns have been great, but again, he doesn't score, you're going to be disappointed. Mitchell could easily be pushed back to a big-time reserve role if, you know, both Gronk and Bennett get going. Wilson plays for the Bears with Matt Barkley, and who knows what's going to happen with that team. I mean, you know, there's nitpicking all the way around. Maybe Deshaun Jackson's the best one, who's sitting there at 59%.
I was about to bring him up. He's scored in 2
straight
games.
And he's come on the last 2 games since the shoulder injury.
Does the matchup at Arizona worry you a little?
He just worries me a little bit because he's so boom or bust. But I think
is he not the same guy as Taylor Gabriel and Malcolm Mitchell and to a degree Tyreek Hill?
I think there's just a bigger body of work from him that you know when he's on, and he's been on the last 2 weeks, and Kirk Cousins has been great.
Right, and matchups just mean so much this time of year, and the fact that he has to go to Arizona and to Philadelphia.
But if Peterson's out, then that makes Deshaun much more attractive.
It does make him more attractive. I still don't think they're going to have a huge day in the air against Arizona, even if Peterson's not there.
No, but we saw him against, not Jackson, but Cousins, against Minnesota, who shut down everybody except for Cousins.
Right.
You know, so it's hard to get away from him. And even Matt Ryan found his way into 21 fantasy points, and if the one touchdown to Gabriel counts, then he's where you had him ranked, which was, what, top 5?
Right.
You know, so he would have been with the additional big play.
Quincy Enunwa had a big touchdown, the butt touchdown. He had 109 yards and a grab on 5 targets. He, I would imagine, is quarterback dependent if Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the starter.
He's starting. He didn't start.
Okay, well, that's good. Matchup against Indianapolis is sweet for Quincy Enunwa. And he ranks ahead of Gabriel for Jamie, but behind Hill, Mitchell, and Jackson. Heath, you down with that, or you not feeling Enunwa at all, or do you like him better than those
guys? You just try to do these as a combination of PPR and standard? Like, if it was PPR, would you take Enunwa over Malcolm Mitchell?
No.
Okay. I think if definitely.
I think he's still a 5-catch guy to me.
Definitely in PPR, I would take Enunwa over those guys just because he's got the Colts this week, and then he gets San Francisco the next week, and then he gets Miami the next week, and
then he's at New England again.
Right. So, yeah. Again, we're talking about number 3 wide receivers, and we're talking about guys that are so tightly bunched up that liking one guy slightly more than the other, they're all pretty close to the same guy. You know me. I'm wanting targets and receptions, and that's Quincy Enunwa is going to get more of those than Malcolm Mitchell.
Okay, my top.
So if that's the case, just to backtrack for a second.
Sure.
Would you like Sanu better? Do you like Sanu better than Gabriel?
I should. I think they're really close. I don't know.
Like, I would start Sanu over Gabriel this week, but I would pick up Gabriel first because I think there's more upside. Like, if you need to win,
there isn't a chance I would start Sanu over Gabriel this week.
In PPR, it's easy.
I wouldn't do it even in PPR. I just think Gabriel's got too much upside, and Sanu is just – there have been plenty of weeks where he's only given 2
catches last week.
That's great. That was then. He doesn't consistently get
it. So Gabriel scored 4 touchdowns last 4 weeks. That was then.
That was then, but at least he's showing that he's making plays. Sanu isn't making any plays.
I disagree.
Okay. I would rank them Hill 1. I might go Gabriel 2 just to see what happens this next week, and then Deshaun Jackson 3rd. As my top 3 on this list. Jamie, Hill, Mitchell, and Deshaun for you. Heath, what's your top 3?
I will go Hill. Are we going standard?
Go standard.
Go standard. I'm going to go Hill. I'm going to go Wilson, and then I'm going to go Mitchell.
Marquise Wilson 2nd, and then Malcolm Mitchell 3rd.
So
a mixed bag, but at least we all agree that Tyreek Hill is the best guy you can get. Some other names that are out there, Marquise Lee, 13% owned. Tyler Boyd, 55% owned. He actually was the best pass catcher for Cincinnati last week. Dorrell Green Beckham, 8% owned, getting a lot of targets lately, and Jordan Matthews is banged up, so that might continue to happen.
I like, and he's way down the list, he's deep league only, but Lee has two terrible matchups coming up in Denver and Minnesota, but he's going to have the most favorable matchup of those matchups, playing primarily in the slot. I think he'll be the best. He may be the best Jacksonville wide receiver this week.
I wouldn't start him.
I would agree, but I wouldn't start him either.
Drop list, Jeremy Maclin, 81% owned. Michael Floyd, 65% owned. Alan Hearns, 57% owned. Hearns and Maclin are banged up. Michael Floyd stinks. We'll get back to more waiver wire ads and drops in a second. Let's talk about the latest news and notes. Derek Carr expects to play after dislocating his finger. He's got Buffalo this week. Any concerns about Carr with the finger issue, or are you going to start him as if he were healthy?
Not even on the injury report that they at least talked about after the game. So,
Aaron Rodgers played through some hamstring tightness. He should be good to go against Houston at home. I think you got to like Rodgers no matter who he plays.
Yep.
Jordan Matthews hurt his ankle. Doesn't look like he's got a great chance to play at Cincinnati, even though that would be a halfway decent matchup for him if he goes back into the slot. Don't know if that's going to happen. Don't know if he's even going to play. Jordan Reed, separated shoulder, and he's got Arizona this week. So kind of a double whammy, the tough matchup that Jamie talked about against the Cardinals and the fact that he's hurt again. And speaking of injuries to tight ends, Rob Gronkowski, back injury. He's going to take on the Rams this week. Obviously, if he's healthy, you'll probably start him. We're probably not going to know anything about Gronk until Friday. If you've got Gronk and no other tight ends, do you make a play for one of the tight ends off the waiver wire like Vance McDonald or Fedorowicz?
You have to. You have to.
Of course. Well, you've probably been in that spot already.
If you've got Gronk on your team, you should probably always have a backup tight end.
Sure, but this week, once he was made active, you might have cut your tight end. Maybe it was, you know, a scrub like Julius Thomas, or that wouldn't have helped you, so never mind. But maybe somebody like Fedorowicz was your backup.
Right.
And you could have cut him, and now you're going to have to get an insurance policy in case Gronk isn't ready.
You must go get somebody.
I would imagine that that would be a high priority for any fantasy owner that's got Gronk. That would be somebody in every single league. AJ Green, unlikely to play this week against Philadelphia. Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton, are they on pace to play against the Jets, Jamie Eisenberg?
Yep.
I would expect them both to play and play well. It's the Jets. They can't stop anybody over the pass. Tyrell Williams is okay after hurting his shoulder in week 12. He's got the Bucs this week. I would imagine the good times will continue to roll with him. Lamar Miller expected to play despite suffering an ankle injury in the fourth quarter last week. He's playing at Green Bay. The Dolphins hopeful that Laremy Tunsil and Brandon Albert will be able to play this week. Mike Pouncey, the center, unlikely to play. Kind of a tough matchup for Jay Ajayi going up against Baltimore. How, you're saying it's bad, Heath. How bad is it?
It's bad enough that if Laremy Tunsil and Brandon Albert and Mike Pouncey, none of the three were playing, I think you could reasonably sit Jay Ajayi.
Would you ever sit Jay Ajayi, Jamie?
If I had better options this week, yeah. But he's still in my top 24. I don't know where you guys have him ranked. But
I've got him just right on the border of the top 24.
Yep.
But that was with the expectation. I mean, it's not often that we have to rank running backs based on which offensive lineman.
I think there's a good enough track record, though. Offensive line, healthy, great. Not healthy offensive line,
yeah.
Mediocre.
Right.
And so, and plus, this is a tough matchup. You know, they were great last week against the Bengals running game. I mean, Jeremy Hill made a lot of plays in the passing game, but they were great against Ezekiel Elliott for what he is.
His rest of the season schedule is not good at all.
No, but if the offensive line is healthy,
right,
you'll still feel comfortable with them.
Do we think Pouncey gets back at any point in the next
month? So I would think you have to at some point. But I still think he can get you – he can grind his way to 50 yards and a touchdown. That's just the type of performance he's given you without the healthy offensive line.
I've got him 20th, which is exactly where you have him. So we were –
yeah, I struggled with him, with Rob Kelly, with Gurley.
I struggled with a ton of running
backs
this week.
And like Starks, who I thought was going to play bad last night, and he did – but he's just so touchdown dependent. He could be better than all those guys this week, but it's hard to say.
Right. It's going to be a tough week at running back. We're going to have a lot of fun discussing it. Gary Barnidge played through a knee injury. Maybe that's why he sucked all year long. He's on bye this week. You can cut him if you haven't already. Jamie mentioned earlier, Ryan Fitzpatrick will start this week against Indianapolis. Is he a sneaky starter this week?
There's a few quarterbacks that if you're stuck, I think more two quarterback leagues. We'll talk about them with the waivers, but him, Barkley, just, you know, volume and matchup. Jared Goff, same thing, volume and matchup. And Fitzpatrick, I think those four guys, you know, if you're really stuck this week, the Colts are bad. And so we can't say we like Marshall and like Anunua and not have Fitzpatrick at least get you close to 20 fantasy points.
I agree. I think he can definitely get you there. So if you're in a pinch, if you're without Mariota, that's a good replacement if you can get him off of waivers. Some defensive injuries. Danny Trevathan out for the year with a ruptured patellar tendon. So a tough year for the Bears gets even worse. Falcons defensive lineman Adrian Claiborne, torn MCL. He's going to miss a month. And you already know that Desmond Trufant is out for the year. So that Falcons defense, it's been bad. Could get worse without those two on the field for a while. E.J. Gaines hurt his chest for the Rams. That's their cornerback. He's playing at New England. It's a bad time for a cornerback to get hurt against the Patriots. And Bills cornerback Ronald Darby left with a concussion. They've got Oakland this week. That pass defense could be tough or in for a tough game. Panthers backup center Geno Gronkowski.
So that means Seth Roberts is going to have a monster day.
I liked him last week. I kind of like him again this week. But we've already talked about so many other wide. Taylor Gabriel or Seth Roberts.
Taylor Gabriel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Panthers backup center Geno Gronkowski left with a knee injury in the second half. And this week, the Panthers on the road, second week in a row at Seattle on Sunday Night Football. I don't know if I really like their chances to have a successful time out there, but we'll get into that again later in the week. Let's talk about Monday night's game between the Packers and the Eagles. It was a really great start to the game. Really looked like we were going to have a shootout between Aaron Rodgers and Carson Wentz. Didn't turn out that way. Green Bay 27, Philadelphia 13. Packers had the ball for just over 35 minutes. That helped them win the game. Matthews got hurt. Philadelphia played without their starting right guard. He was hospitalized before the game with an illness. And Aaron Rodgers just continues to do his thing. 26 fantasy points, over 300 yards passing, two touchdowns, 26 yards rushing, and a trip to a little teeny tiny tent on the sideline that everybody got excited about. Everybody's starting him moving forward. He's got Houston at home this week, followed by Seattle. You got to like Aaron Rodgers moving forward. But James Starks, I think, left a lot to be desired. He had 17 carries, yay, but only 41 yards on the ground. Second straight game with him getting five catches, Jamie. How are you handicapping Starks moving forward? Is it a week-to-week proposition, or do you see him as someone that you just can't trust?
Period. I think it's, you know, depending on your roster, you know, what you need. Like, I have him in two leagues where I'm stuck. I have to start him. And so I'm hoping for what we got the 2 weeks prior, which is, you know, catching a touchdown or at least doing something relevant. But the week before, he had over 80 total yards. What was he, just about 40 total yards, 50 total yards? Mm-hmm. No, 60 total yards. He was over 60 total yards. I think that's just kind of who he is. He's going to be a 60 to 80 total yard guy. He's going to hopefully find the end zone on a semi-regular basis. But his matchup this week in a game where Houston's probably going to get blown out because Green Bay's been on the road for three straight games and their defense has been relatively suspect against the run for the majority of the season. The one thing that's frustrating is they finally got a rushing touchdown from a running back, and it was from Aaron Gronkowski.
Yeah.
So you have to wonder at some point, just because, again, their running game stinks, do they start to give Christian Michael maybe more work next week?
He had a
and
carry
especially
for 4 yards.
If they're getting blown out, do they, or if they're blowing out the Texans, does Michael get the fourth quarter work? So I think Starks kind of slots in as a low-end number two flex option for you this week. And, you know, like we've said, it's kind of a bad week for running backs. Just to give you a name, I would start him over Jonathan Stewart this coming week against Seattle.
I've got Starks ranked 20th. I actually have him behind Jonathan Stewart. I reserve the right to change my mind, but Stewart does have a good track record against Seattle for some reason that I just can't fathom. Devontae Adams, five catches, 113 yards, two touchdowns on six targets, rewarding those fantasy owners that stuck with him through some lean games lately. He had three catches for 42 yards at Washington. You'd figure they did have a huge game against Washington and maybe struggle a little bit against Philadelphia, but it didn't happen. He caught an amazing pass from Aaron Rodgers, if you haven't seen it. Just a perfect throw from Rodgers, went right into his hands. Very, very, very tight window in the end zone. He was draped by Nolan Carroll, still made the catch. It was a great play. He scored 10 and 15 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in weeks 9 and 10. Two straight games with only six targets. Devontae Adams, is he a plug-and-play number two receiver?
He's a must-start number two receiver.
Yeah, is he the number one receiver in Green Bay?
No. We're moving away from Jordy that fast.
Jordy's still the number one guy.
I mean, their seasons are almost carbon copies of each other.
Yeah, Adams is I don't know how anybody would not consider him a must-start guy.
Right, he's must-start. He's the number six wide receiver in fantasy so far this year.
Yeah, he's been amazing. And, you know, and you're going to get bad games from everybody. We just talked about Julio Jones. He goes up and down. So he may not give you the 300-yard game, but I mean, Aaron Rodgers is trusting him like we hoped he would have trusted him last year, and probably he did trust him last year. He just didn't deliver and had the, you know, injuries that he's playing through. He's he is by far, Mike Evans was already kind of there. He's by far the third-year breakout. Any example you talk about, third-year breakout receiver, mm-hmm. he fits every criteria.
So, he has scored two fewer fantasy points than Jordy Nelson this year. He's averaging 0.2 of a fantasy point less than Jordy Nelson. The one thing I'll say about Jordy is that he's been a little more consistent. Last five games, 15, 15, 18, 8, and 9. I would say 8 and 9, it's not great, but at least you know that you
right.
can get that out of a floor for Jordy. Whereas Devontae's last five games, 7, 10, 15, 4 was the stinker at Washington, and then 23. So maybe Adams is a little more boomer busty than Jordy. The one thing that worries me about the game against Houston is how much are those receivers going to have to do if we assume the Packers are going to blow them out, and we know that the strength of that
if they
Texans
blow them out,
defense,
they're blowing them out by Aaron Rodgers throwing.
Yeah, they're not
even with the Texans cornerbacks.
Yeah, I mean,
who's
I think
going to score
saw,
the points?
I think we saw last week that if you Jared go with Cook. Them, if you go with them, you know, I mean, Phillip Rivers challenged them, and Tyrell Williams and Dontrell Owen made plays.
Okay,
well,
no
and,
one should,
and it was what?
No one should feel bad about starting Jordy or Devonta Adams, but what about Randall Cobb, who has been in single digits his last four games, and if you want to include the fifth game, he got a zero. I don't believe he played. So he's somebody, he's behind Kenny Stills in total fantasy points this season by a point. He's behind Tyreek Hill in fantasy points this season by just a handful of points. Way behind other guys like even Marvin Jones, Cole Beasley, Demaryius Thomas. Where did you guys rank Randall Cobb coming into week 13?
Still low end number two. I think this is a winnable matchup for him based on where he'll line up.
What did he? Did something go wrong with Randall Cobb last night? Because he had 6 for 41 at halftime.
Then after that, not so much anything.
Like nothing. I don't know.
The frustrating thing is where he lines up. Because yeah. in their formation, when they put the three guys around Aaron Rodgers, it's usually running back, Ripkowski or tight end, and Cobb. And then Cobb will motion out. And this is part of the reason why Aaron Rodgers' yards per attempt are very low. Because
right.
he hits Cobb in these short area passes. So what we loved about Randall Cobb prior to last year was his red zone production, which has completely fallen off. And so I think if he can get into the end zone, that 6 for 41 turns into 7 for 60 and a touchdown, you're happy with that. So I'm not getting away from him because he's still involved, and this goes back, I think, Heath, to what you look for is guys who are touching the ball quite a bit.
Right.
And he's still a guy that touches the ball quite a bit. So the last week to me was what Randall Cobb's floor is going to typically be. Mm-hmm. Because the weeks prior to that, he was fighting through this hamstring.
3 for 84 on 5 targets.
Yeah, not the 3, but I think it's usually going to be 5 for 84. And I think that the weeks prior to that, we saw the hamstring injury was plaguing him. He was in and out of the lineup. He did come back and score the touchdown in the one game. But I'm not getting away from him completely because of who his quarterback is, especially when they're at home. I mean, there's always a chance for them. You remember the game against the Texans a few years ago. I think it was in Houston, actually. But there's always a chance for him to be a monster.
Okay, Ty Montgomery, we didn't talk about him as a guy you can cut, but
oh, we did weeks
you can
ago.
Pretty much cut him yep. at this point. Still owned in 56% of CBS leagues if you have him. He's taking up a roster spot that he shouldn't. And I don't know if there's anything more Jared Cook than Jared Cook following up a 6-catch, 105-yard, and 1-touchdown game with a 1-catch, 7-yard game.
He is, in fact, Jared Cook.
Moving over to Philadelphia, you've got Wendell Smallwood, 9 carries, 37 yards, 1 catch for 10 yards. Darren Sproles, heavily owned. He only had 6 yards on 3 carries, 48 yards on 5 catches, 7 targets for him. I feel like I'm in the exact same boat as I've always been with Philadelphia's run game, which is you just can't trust it. And the Packers' run defense, I don't think they were tested very much, obviously, if those two only combined for 12 carries. But they did a good job for the first time in a while.
The worst thing that happened to Philadelphia was they got behind. 7-0 yep. the minute they got behind, and then when it was 14-7, they completely had to abandon their run game. And so Smallwood still led them in touches. I was optimistic about Smallwood because I thought they were trying to do what they did a couple weeks ago against Atlanta, which is try and dominate time of possession. But Aaron Rodgers, I listened to a radio interview he had with Jim Gray on the Westwood One broadcast before the game, and he said, the worst thing we've been doing to our defense is getting off to a slow start. When I heard that, I was like, oh, crap, here we go. They're going to score in their opening drive. They did, and that completely turned Philadelphia into try and throw the ball all over the place. Wentz got off to a great start, 6 for 6 on the opening drive,
yep.
scored the rushing touchdown. I was encouraged because they left Sproles in on the first carry inside the 5. He got stuffed. And then Smallwood came in,
and he made a good block.
And then you had the Wentz rushing touchdown. But I still think Smallwood's got some flex potential. I don't love the situation this week, but Cincinnati can get run on. So to me, Smallwood is going to be kind of in the neighborhood of where Kenneth Dixon was last week, which was 80 total yards. I think Smallwood can get you 7 or 8 fantasy points, but I don't love him this week. But to me, he's still the better of the two in standard leagues and in PPR. Sproles.
And we'll keep you posted on Ryan Matthews and whether or not the knee injury is going to keep him out another week. Carson Wentz, 60% owned, 17 fantasy points, did not throw a touchdown, ran for one, like Jamie said. He's got Cincinnati this week. I don't think anybody in their right mind would start Carson Wentz. Anybody here starting Carson Wentz?
In a two-quarterback league? No.
How about a three-quarterback league?
I'd rather start Goff, Barkley, and Fitzpatrick over Wentz.
Moment of silence for Zach Ertz, or are we just going to chalk it up to Philadelphia having a rough night and he'll bounce back against
Cincinnati? He's a tight end. Start him this week. Cincinnati's terrible against tight ends.
Yeah, he still had 6 targets. I mean, he's been averaging over 7 targets over his last 4 games. And, I mean, look, the one interception that Wentz threw, he was targeting Ertz as well, so.
All right, let's talk about some more waiver wire priority. Let's move over to tight ends. We know Delanie Walker and Gary Barnage are on bye. What am I going to do without Gary Barnage in my lineup this week? The injuries are more significant. Rob Gronkowski, Jordan Reed, Julius Thomas. What am I going to do without Julius Thomas this week? Jamie's priority list, Vance McDonald, who's available in 85% of CBS leagues. He's number 1, Vernon Davis, number 2, C.J. Fedorowicz, number 3, Hunter H. Henry, number 4. And that's it. Vance McDonald, guys, 4 catches, 60 yards on 8 targets against Miami. Previous 3 games, 14, 5, and 10 fantasy points in standard leagues. He's had 6 targets in each of those games. He's got the Bears in Chicago. Colin Kaepernick is a throwing machine. And so Vance McDonald, a startable tight end in Week 13.
Colin Kaepernick likes Vance McDonald.
I think it's the only consistent guy that we've got in San Fran.
Yep.
Right. I think he likes Torrey Smith, too. Smith missed a couple of weeks, and he was looking Smith's way, but that doesn't matter because we've got enough wide receivers. We don't have enough tight ends. I mean, Vance McDonald, he may finish as a top 12 tight end this year.
It's pretty incredible how he's come on lately.
Yeah. 2 touchdowns in his last 4 games. Like you said, he's the most consistent guy for Kaepernick. This is a winnable matchup against Chicago. They gave up another touchdown to a tight end last week with Delanie Walker. And so Kaepernick still threw a touchdown to a tight end last week, too, with Garrett Selleck.
Can we do some trivia? Adam always likes trivia.
Go ahead.
In his honor. What do Antonio Gates, Eric Ebron, and Vernon Davis have in common?
Donuts?
No. They've all scored less fantasy points this year than Vance McDonald.
Oh, wow. That's something. I don't know what to do with that other than tell you that Vance McDonald.
We should probably pick him up.
For a tight end, he's got some consistency. That's not such a bad thing. Ladarius Green didn't make your list, Jamie.
No.
How come?
He's not playing very much.
Even though he had 6 fantasy points last week, you don't think he's somebody that's got a little bit of appeal in what should be a high-scoring game with
sure.
the Giants and the Steelers?
Sure, he could.
But he's behind all those guys that you named.
Yep.
Vernon Davis, Jamie seemed a little unsure, or definitely not
I would pick him up ahead of Fedorowicz if I'm looking long-term. If I'm streaming this week, I like Fedorowicz better and probably Hunter Henry better. But if Reed is out for who knows how long, Davis has gotten you at least 6 fantasy points in 5 of his last 6 games, and he's gotten 5 targets in 3 of his last 5. So he's been involved. This is going to be a tough week for him this week against Arizona.
Fedorowicz has the Packers this week, and then they've got the Colts, then the Jaguars, then the Bengals, and then at Tennessee. So there's some pretty good matchups in there ahead for the thinking cap. Hunter Henry has 4 straight games with 20 or fewer yards. He's got the Bucks, then at Carolina, Oakland at home, at Cleveland. We've talked for weeks about that Chargers schedule being good. I just don't know if Henry is anything more than a touchdown or bust tight end.
He's Taylor Gabriel.
I started.
He's not doing what Taylor Gabriel does.
Nobody's scoring.
The difference is I started my tight end rankings, and I had Henry up to 8th this week ahead of Antonio Gates. I don't love tight end this week. And I went just on a hunch this morning and looked at Pro Football Focus to see what happened to Antonio Gates. How did he score 0 fantasy points? Did they just stop playing him? Hunter Henry ran 9 pass routes. Mm-hmm. I can't start somebody that's running 10 pass routes.
No, he's totally touchdown dependent. But I think part of it is how healthy is Tyrell Williams?
Yeah.
And looking at the matchup this week, they can win with whoever they want to, really, especially Brent Grimes is out. But I think you look at it, Henry to me is – got a chance to get you 6 to 8 fantasy points almost on a given week just based on what we've seen.
We expect Gates to just totally bounce back this week?
He still played.
Oh, yeah, he played a lot more. He ran 24 pass routes.
Yeah, I think Gates is still a top 10 tight end.
Do we know how much Travis Benjamin played? Because I figure that Hunter Henry's workload will go up if one of those top 3 receivers for San Diego are limited or out.
Right.
And so if Travis Benjamin played a lot, and I know he didn't have very many fantasy
Travis
points.
Benjamin ran 28 pass routes, more than Gates or Henry.
Okay, so he played a decent amount. And I know Tyrell Williams got banged up, but he didn't get banged up till the fourth quarter. He definitely did some big things in the game.
Right.
So I'm kind of sour on Hunter Henry, too, just because I don't know how much work he's going to get when everybody in San Diego is healthy.
I was kind of surprised by how little San Diego ran. I mean, you said on the Sunday morning show, and you were right, that Phillip Rivers could be throwing the ball all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he does.
I didn't anticipate that at all. It wasn't a situation where they were ever playing from behind or chasing the scoreboard. They didn't give it to Melvin Gordon near as much as they did earlier in the year.
And Pete said on the show he thought that Gordon was going to struggle.
Yeah. And he did.
Mm-hmm. And he did. Let's talk about a guy who's definitely not struggling. Let's move to quarterbacks and Colin Kaepernick, who's still available in over 60% of CBSSports.com leagues. His last four games, 25. 25, 23, and then against the Dolphins, 38. He's on the road the second week in a row, but he's against the Chicago Bears. And this is a team that has lost some of its pass rush, certainly lost some of their playmakers on defense. I think there's no doubt now that Colin Kaepernick has to be considered a must-start quarterback.
I like him better than Brady this week, if Gronk is out.
How sick is that?
I am not quite that far.
Where do you have him ranked?
10th.
I've got him 7th.
Yeah.
And I've been late to the Kaepernick party.
Right. I was early to the Kaepernick party.
You really were.
But then I'm already here, so I'm not as excited as everybody else, I guess.
I've got
him walking the door.
For now, I've got him ahead of Ryan, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, that could change with Patrick Peterson, Eli Manning, Jameis, Derek Carr, and even Trevor Siemian.
And I hate talking about our rankings at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning.
Because things change. Sure.
They're going to
change.
We've
only taken
a
first glance look.
Right.
It's nothing that's going to stay in its own. But I think Colin Kaepernick is the top 10. Jamie Colin Kaepernick obviously is in your top 10.
Yep.
If you've got him ranked ahead of Tom Brady. I think it's safe to say that Kaepernick's going to stay in our top 10.
There's no question he's going to stay in the top 10. He could go as high as 6 or 7.
I would say this is your number one waiver wire priority. If you're okay at running back, and even if you weren't okay at running back, tough. It's bad out there at running back. There's a reason why we're burying that. And you're okay at wide receiver and tight end. I think Kaepernick's got to be the priority.
And not just that. If you're okay everywhere and you're going into the playoffs, this is a guy you go get and make sure you don't have to play him in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Kaepernick and Tyrod Taylor both. Because mm-hmm. Taylor's going to be really good in the fantasy playoffs.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is 15% owned. So if you can't get Kaepernick or if you don't make Kaepernick a priority or you miss out on him, Fitzpatrick plays Indianapolis. Then he's at San Francisco, then Miami, and then at New England. We've talked about that schedule with Quincy and Nunwa. Fitzpatrick, as long as he has the starting job in New York, I think he can put up some pretty decent numbers. Anybody disagree?
No, not this week. You know, I mean, it's one of those situations where the Colts are bad. They're at home. Marshall looked rejuvenated coming off of his bye week. You know, certainly got off to a great start. Quincy Nunma showed up again for the first time since what seems like forever. And so I think this game could be a potential shootout, you know, if the Colts offense shows up with Andrew Luck healthy.
Alex Smith, I agree with Jamie, third best on the quarterback list. And he's not a bad streamer this week. He's taken on Atlanta. They've given up tons of fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks.
Three of the last four have scored at least 21 points.
Yeah, so I think Alex Smith is a pretty safe bet for 20. And then you've got Matt Barkley and Jared Goff. Would you start either of them in a two-quarterback league this week?
I'd start both over Bortles and Tannehill.
Interesting.
Yeah, Bortles is not going to make the top 24
this
week.
Yeah, Bortles has a tough. But Barkley and Goff, would they make the top 24?
They did for me.
Barkley will. I don't currently have Goff at 25th. So
5 straight quarterbacks have scored at least 20 fantasy points against New England. They let him throw the ball down the field last week. They're going to be chasing points. I think Goff has look, I know the New Orleans matchup's much better, but it's not like the Patriots' defense has been playing well at all.
Goff was 20 of 32 for 214 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Beautiful throw to Tavon Austin.
Yep.
Made some plays in the red zone to get Kendricks and Britt the touchdown.
And those guys made plays for him, too, to fight to get into the end zone, which is always something that helps.
And you know what Belichick's going to do. He takes away one thing. He's going to take away Gurley. So,
I don't know if he's going to try and take away Gurley.
Do you have to try to take away Gurley?
Exactly. Like, I feel like Gurley's at the point now where he's just, you know, not as big of a threat as he once was. He's outside of my top 24 this week.
He's just inside for me.
If you had to start one of these two, Barkley or Goff, who do you have ranked higher?
Barkley.
Okay. I believe I have Barkley also there. The drop list, Carson Palmer just hasn't been great. He had 21 fantasy points against Atlanta. 25
that was
45,
an ugly,
289
ugly
yards, and 2 touchdowns.
His receivers stink. I mean, yeah, they really do.
Everything's falling apart in
Arizona.
It's
just bad offensive line. He can't throw the ball down the field. Michael Floyd stinks. John Brown got hurt. Larry Fitzgerald's hit the same wall that he hit last year. You know, hopefully he bounces through it, fights through it.
He needs volume.
Yeah.
He only had, what, four catches this
past week? Funny because we were joking on the Sunday show that Jermaine Gresham's going to have to make plays for him. It was all David Johnson and Jermaine Gresham with just these short area throws, which is so atypical of a Bruce Arians offense. Mm-hmm. It does not look anything like a typical Bruce Arians offense, and he's having to adjust. And I think this week, what should he try and do is just lean on David Johnson because that's his best chance to win.
Right. Dr. Jermaine Gresham.
Slow down the Redskins' offense.
Or Jermaine Gresham, one of the two.
Slow down the Redskins' offense. I mean, Gresham's a guy that we should probably look at because he's actually played well the last couple weeks.
I argued a lot about having Carson Palmer, not like in the top 12, but in the top 15, and I felt like I got so lucky that he scored 21 fantasy points. I just immediately dropped him down to 20.
The first touchdown, it's funny because you were celebrating it because we went back and forth a little bit on the Sunday show.
Right.
It should have been a David Johnson rushing touchdown.
Yes.
And then he ends up throwing it to him, but he just doesn't look right.
Nope.
I mean, you know, it's really sad. And Dave, you said this on Sunday when we were watching the games. When quarterbacks go bad, they go bad in a hurry. You know, we saw it with Peyton Manning, and you're seeing it with Carson Palmer. And this team, unfortunately, which had so much promise and so much potential as a Super Bowl contender, I don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs.
Four straight quarterbacks have scored 21 or more fantasy points against Washington. That's who Carson Palmer plays this week. It's Andy Dalton, Sam Bradford, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott. Does the matchup do anything to make you save?
No, because the matchup against
Palmer?
Atlanta was great.
So
and the matchup against San Francisco was great.
Now, I would still rather start Palmer over Barkley or Goff.
I agree.
Okay, but what about Ryan Fitzpatrick? Let's say I'm the Carson Palmer owner. I want to get Colin Kaepernick. I put in the claim for Colin Kaepernick, but I miss on Colin Kaepernick. If it's Fitzpatrick and Palmer, who are you leaning on?
I currently have Fitzpatrick one spot higher than Palmer.
Yeah, they're back. I don't know where I have him, but they're back-to-back.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think Fitzpatrick should be that guy. I think he should be ahead of Carson Palmer.
I may change it because it feels gross.
Andy Dalton, speaking of gross, 86% owned, no AJ Green. Until AJ Green's back, we're dropping him.
Also not in the top 24 this week.
The one thing about him is he gets Cleveland next week. So just make sure when you do drop him that you have an eye if you need somebody. Like if you're going
what if he's my second quarterback?
If you're going to Fitzpatrick this week to be your starter, like you've just been streaming all season long, just put Dalton on the scout team or whatever you need to do because if Green does play next week and he gets Cleveland next week, then you want to go back to Dalton.
Back and you go back to Dalton.
Also, if you've been streaming all season long and you don't have Colin Kaepernick on your roster, I don't know what you've been
doing. Yeah, you did something
wrong. What have you been doing? Why do you not have Colin Kaepernick as your quarterback now?
Maybe you missed him.
Yeah.
Speaking of steaming, Blake Bortles, 80% owned, threw for 126 yards.
He's been five straight games with at least 20 fantasy points. And
you don't want to watch it.
No,
you don't want to see him get
the same thing like we just talked about with Palmer. Like, he got you what you would hope for,
right.
But it's just ugly in how it happens. Now, I mean, he didn't throw the ball very well, but didn't turn the ball over. Did a good job running the ball. You know, I mean, 80 yards rushing, you'll take that from a quarterback any day of the week.
If I give you over under 11 this week, what are you taking?
Under. For fantasy under. Points on Blake Bortles?
And the thing about
I'll take
it
over
is,
11, but I'm not taking over 15.
The thing about it is it's Denver this week, Minnesota next week, and then at Houston. So it's three really tough matchups for him. So if he's gotten you to this point,
yeah,
count your blessings.
This is the part of the podcast where we're doing Team Name Tuesday, and we're done. Running backs on the waiver wire. Names of note on bye, DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry, Isaiah Crowell, and Duke Johnson. Are you cutting Isaiah Crowell
yes.
at this point in the season?
I don't know.
Lost another offensive lineman.
I'm probably not, because he gets Cincinnati next week, and I think that's a decent matchup.
It's a decent matchup, but I feel like he hasn't run well in a month.
That's true.
He has one game over 50 yards rushing since week four, and it was 63. Was
losing
his high.
Bitonio was the worst.
His last four games in a standard league, six fantasy points or less. Now, PPR, he's got 11 catches in his last two games.
Right.
So if you're relying on that, then maybe stick with him. The way that I wrote it in the column was 10-team leagues, he's gone. 12-team leagues, you could consider it. If you're not starting him at this point, and I know, Heath, you're going to disagree with me on this, I'd rather stash Peterson
right.
than hold Crowell if I'm not playing him. Now, if I've been playing right. him and I'm stuck, then I'll keep Crowell over Peterson.
Right. I, the places where I have Crowell, I'm pretty much stuck.
Right.
And I have had to start him. And this week he wasn't terrible. I mean, eight fantasy points even in a standard isn't
no, he fumbled
awful
six.
For running with a six
yeah.
for stupid fumbles. Maybe it's too narrative-y, but I just think coming off a bye against a Cincinnati team that's just completely given up, I think he'll be pretty good in Week 14.
And that's
well, it's funny that you're saying that the Cincinnati team has given up, but the team
well, they gave
won
up like
game,
2 months ago.
Yeah, but the team that has won a game.
I feel like
fight.
Cleveland isn't going
to
give up.
No, they've got something
they
to fight for.
But the one thing
they've
got to
win one
and,
game.
And I thought about the bye week situation when writing this. The one thing that I'm concerned about is at what point do they just start to say, "Let's we got to see what Duke Johnson can give us."
Yeah,
and you put him out there and do more work.
Yeah, yeah I sure. mean it. It and even who's the third guy? Malcolm.
Middle.
Huh.
It doesn't
Brown?
Matter who
Mac
it is.
Brown? Who is it?
I don't know.
Brown was the guy that scored the touchdown for the Bears. I remember that.
Daniel Brown.
Anyway.
Way too much time spent on the Browns running backs. Injured running backs that you might need to replace this week. Chris Ivory with a hamstring. Lamar Miller with an ankle, although it looks like Miller's going to be fine. Mike Gillislee with a hamstring. You probably weren't starting him anyway. And Ryan Matthews with the knee injury that kept him out of Monday night's game. Priority list. It's a weird list. Here are the names. Kenneth Dixon, Adrian Peterson, Amir Abdullah, Charles Sims. Only one of these four running backs might actually play in Week 13.
It's a misery.
So it seems to me, A, there's nothing on the waiver wire when it comes to running backs, and nope. B, if you're picking up a running back off the waiver wire, it's for the playoff run, not necessarily for now.
We've said a lot of guys could be the number one priority. If Kenneth Dixon's available in your league, I'd rather have him than anybody.
He's starting to
Overhill?
Take over a little bit now.
Overhill.
I'd still rather have Hill.
I would also rather have Hill or Kaepernick and potentially Vance McDonald. Over Kenneth Dixon. It just depends on what you need. I think if you're desperate for a running back.
Well, I mean, you're starting Crowell, so you're
right,
taking
Kenneth exactly. Dixon. Yeah, yes. Remember, I drafted Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles.
And you're still Kenneth alive Dixon. In that league?
Yes.
Good for you. I'd like to hear about how you did that, but not right now. Kenneth Dixon available 37% of CBSSports.com leagues, 49 yards on the ground, 31 through the air, 4 catches to go with it. That's 7-point standard, 11 in PPR. For all you math majors out there, season high in carries. And I believe, did he have more playing time than Terrence West?
He had more touches. It was 17 to 16. He had more total yards. It was 80 to 64.
But West played a little
time.
More.
I believe the playing
he's
time
He's a lot
still.
Better than Terrence West.
Been saying it since August.
Yes, you have, Dave.
I wish
you
Baltimore,
were right.
I wish those coaches would see what
hurt.
I saw.
And it took him this long to figure out
hurt.
The offense.
I guess so. And now the one thing I'm worried about is that Baltimore's going to do something goofy like add Leonard Fournette in the draft, and then Kenneth Dixon's never going to hit his potential in the NFL.
They're not going to get Leonard Fournette. They're going to be in the playoffs.
Where do you have?
You would take Leonard Fournette over Kenneth Dixon if you get Leonard Fournette.
Of course I would, but I'm just, you know,
and
riding this bandwagon that has no wheels. Dixon has wheels. He's got the Dolphins this week. Where did you rank him?
Just outside the top 25.
I'm a little lower on him just because I think the Dolphins defensive line has been really good, and there's still the sharing situation between him and West. I think it's going to be an ugly game. Really do.
He's number one in my heart, but number 27 in my running back rankings. I think he's a good candidate for about 70 total yards. Adrian Peterson's number two. Amir Abdullah is number three. Charles Sims is number four. Of those three, the only one that looks like a lock to come back and play this year is Sims. But why is he last?
Because he's the least in terms of touches. If he does get a starting job, or he does return.
Unless Doug Martin gets hurt for the 73rd time in his career, but he's only got to make it a month without getting hurt now, so Martin will probably be okay.
I only remember about 15 of those 72 times that Doug Martin's gotten hurt.
What about Dwayne Washington this week you're starting Isaiah Crowell and you have to have a running back because you don't have any other on your team because you picked up Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles in the draft.
Oops, I crafted my lineup and now I'm desperate.
That guy
for a running
does
back.
A hell of a lot of nothing with a hell of a lot of touches.
He gets to play the Saints.
Maybe he gets you 4 or 5 fantasy points.
Maybe he scores you a touchdown. How many touchdowns are the Lions going to score? 4? 5?
This is the Lions we're talking about. They haven't scored 4 or 5 touchdowns in a game in a while.
4. 4 touchdowns for the Lions. One of them goes to Dwayne Washington.
How many did Todd Gurley score?
0.
Where did you rank Dwayne Washington?
37th.
Wow. Ooh. Give me some names of running backs that you put him ahead of. I'm curious to hear.
Perkins.
Okay.
McKinnon.
Wow.
Sharkhandrick.
Okay.
Burkhead.
Okay.
Bibbs.
Okay.
Jalen Richard.
Okay.
Chris Thompson.
Okay. I mean, these are all terrible choices. McKinnon is the only one that I would absolutely start ahead of Dwayne Washington. But the thing that worries me about Washington is he might deliver a donut. Goose egg. 0. That'd be terrible. There's some handcuffs to talk about. Mike Gillislee, D'Angelo Williams, Alf. Alf is only owned in 37% of leagues. If anything were to happen to Ezekiel Elliott, Alfred Morris would get a great opportunity.
Yep.
I feel like he's worth stashing, and you've got to have him if you've got Ezekiel Elliott. And last time I checked, Zeke was owned in 100% of leagues. So a couple of you guys out there need to add Morris to go with Zeke. Capri Bibbs, Damian Williams. Williams is another handcuff that I think could be worth stashing if anything were to happen to Jay Ajayi. Damian Williams would get in there. Drop list at running back. We talked about Isaiah Crowell. 95% owned. That number's got to go down. Ryan Matthews, is he droppable? He's 91% owned.
He's droppable.
I don't know if I'm dropping him because I think he can still come back
Matthews,
later this year.
I have no interest in him. Doug Peterson said the knee injury is going to linger. With that guy, that probably could mean the rest of the season. If they fall out of playoff contention, there's no way he's coming back.
I botched that joke. I should have said, does it have to let it linger? Chris Ivory, 81% owned. He's banged up. Christian Michael, still 70% owned.
I actually took him off the list just because if something were to happen to Starks.
Is he a handcuff then?
Yeah. The one thing about it is if Starks goes down, they're going back to the Montgomery mix of.
Yeah, see, I don't think he'll get Starks catches. So he's just going to get the 20 to 40 rushing yards.
Right. I just kind of left. I just left him off because you're not going to add him, but you're not going to drop him.
Okay.
If you're the Starks owner.
Ignore Christian Michael.
Yes.
DST streamers. Heath, you talked this morning about how you had a hard time finding DST streamers.
It's the worst week of the year for DST streamers.
Before I read off Jamie's list, do you have a couple of names off the top of your head that you'd like to...
They're not on the top of my head. They're in the article that I just wrote. I don't think the Jets are a terrible streamer this week.
Okay. Against Indianapolis.
The Colts are the second worst team in the league at protecting their quarterback. The Jets will be able to get to Andrew Luck. Luck's going to score points. I don't think the Redskins are a terrible streamer this week. They're going to Arizona. Carson Palmer, the Cardinals are top bottom five in both interceptions and sacks allowed. So they create fantasy points for opposing teams. And then there's like if you're in a deep league and you need a defense that's like under 20% owned, because the weird thing that's also happened is the ownership is spread out. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more defenses 60% owned than there used to be, which seems weird to say, but it's true. The Colts at the Jets. I mean, it's Fitzmagic.
What about the Cowboys at Minnesota? They are 39% owned. I think they're a great streamer this week, actually.
Yeah.
Is it just that they're not a name brand defense and they don't have a bunch of studs? They're just finding a way to get it done?
I think the Cowboys, they're kind of like the Patriots in that the things that they do well defensively aren't necessarily the things that get rewarded in fantasy leagues. They play really slow, and they limit points, so that's good. But where do they rank in fantasy points amongst Stevens?
I'm going to look that up, but Jamie has them ranked number one. So I was going to go to
Jamie. The Vikings' offensive line is a disaster.
That's a fact. I agree with that.
Okay. The Cowboys DST the last 5 weeks, 9, 14, 1 point, 5 points, 2 points. So there's a little bit of a risk going with Dallas, but obviously you're banking on Minnesota's offensive line
right.
continuing
to
sink.
I mean, Washington's probably isn't much better than that you just read off. So
if Stephon Diggs were out, I'd say this is a slam dunk because right. I just don't have a lot of faith in the offense getting a lot of points. But with Diggs playing, I'd still start him. I think if you're streaming, I agree with you, Heath, there just aren't a lot of great choices. But there's another one that's available in over 60% of CBS leagues that I think people might like, and that's the Packers, who are playing at home against the mighty Brock Osweiler in the Houston Texans.
I considered that one too.
But you didn't put it in there very high. Is that kind of similar reasons because the Packers defense just hasn't been that great?
Yeah, I don't even know who plays for the Packers anymore. It's like the
their
Bears,
secondary is
it's like
up.
The Bears offense. I can
Julius
name like
Peppers
three
was
of them.
Great last night. Clay Matthews.
They scored 14
the
fantasy points. It's the most they've had in 5
played
weeks.
Great. I mean, look, they got after Carson Wentz. It's the first time that they've showed a pass rush in months.
Right.
And when they're at home and you put them in these situations where they score and the other team is chasing points and when the other guy is Brock Osweiler, right. especially if Lamar Miller's banged up, could be a really good situation for the Packers this week.
Yeah, I like the Packers too. I think that that's a good one. And then kickers, if you need one, Brandon McManus is one of my absolute favorites this week, 61% owned already. But he's playing Jacksonville and the Broncos should be able to put up some points. Will Lutz, 47% owned. He's taking on the Lions. Roberto Aguayo, good sneaky play this week at San Diego. And I think that's all that we need to say about kickers. Would you like to answer a couple of emails before we get out of here? Good. Dear Carson, Jared, Cody, and Dak. This is from John in a city in Canada 2 hours away from the States. I'm going to say it's London, Ontario, because that's what it says in the email. I'm making plans for my Week 14 lineups because I was able to lock up a playoff spot prior to the regular season ending. In Week 14, would you rather play Dak Prescott, Carson Palmer, or Kirk Cousins? 6 points for a passing touchdown. You probably would like to know who those quarterbacks are playing against in Week 14. Dak is at the Giants. Carson Palmer is at Miami. And Kirk Cousins in Week 14 at Philadelphia. Which one tickles your fancy the most?
Probably Dak.
Don't love Dak this week, but he's the best one.
Well, this is for Week 14, not Week 13.
I wasn't paying attention. Sorry. Who does he get?
Dak Prescott, Carson Palmer, Kirk Cousins in Week 14.
Against all on the road.
We're doing a little planning ahead, and I think we'll probably talk
Dak
about
have in
week 14.
Who does Dak have in Week 14?
At the Giants. And Kirk Cousins is at Philadelphia.
I'll take Cousins.
I would, too. I think Cousins' matchup is the best. This is from Reggie. 10-team standard league. Week 13 is the last week of the regular season for him. Luck and Palmer are his quarterbacks. Kaepernick and Tyrod Taylor are available. Would you add Kaepernick and start him over Luck in Week 13? His team is 9-3. He's headed to the playoffs. Do you like Kaepernick enough to start him over Andrew Luck?
Our good friend, James Questel, is fighting for his playoff life, and he's got Luck and Kaepernick. I have them ranked back-to-back. I have Luck one spot higher. But he also is in a point situation where he needs to win and outscore somebody else, and I think Kaepernick's ceiling is higher than Luck's. Luck's floor, I think, is higher. So if depending on what your situation is, in his situation, if he just wants to maybe try and improve his points, I think Kaepernick could be better.
Last one is from Michael. Where's he from, Dave? He's from Butte, Montana. Hello, Stinky, Fatso, and Stretch.
It's not very nice.
I agree. He needs to drop one of these running backs to activate Sammy Watkins from his IR spot. James Starks, Kenneth Dixon.
Starks.
I'd drop Dixon.
I would also drop Dixon. Sorry, Heath.
I don't think he's starting either one of them.
Exactly, but I think if you had to start one of them, certainly starting this week, I think Starks just has a little bit more upside than Kenneth Dixon. And obviously, to get Sammy Watkins off the IR, it's just one of those things that you
right.
have to do. I had to drop Starks. And I there's a league I'm in where I had to drop Starks and Sammy Watkins to make room for quarterbacks. It was a nightmare. I hated every bit of it, but I'm still going to the playoffs in that league.
All right.
That's going to do it for the Waiver Wire edition of the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Share with all of your friends who aren't in your fantasy leagues. Adam will be back tomorrow when the tornado chokes, dies, and Adam walks out like nothing happened.
Tweet at us with where was Adam today.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Tweet at us where was Adam, because clearly he wasn't really in a tornado. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk about some Week 14 takeaways to get you ready for Week 14. And then Week 13, obviously, coming up later in the week. A lot of fun ahead. Thanks for coming out.
Great job, Dave.
Bye.